From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. If one hears the word abuse, most of us automatically think of child abuse or substance abuse. And those conditions absolutely should be top of mind because of their devastating impacts on individuals and society as a whole. But another category of abuse is just as insidious and pervasive in our community, and that's elder abuse. According to the Oregon Department of Justice, various studies estimate that just financial elder abuse costs our nation $2.9 billion per year. And that's just the abuse that robs seniors of their money. Other forms of physical, mental, and neglect abuse can be even worse. Today on Oregon on the Record, you'll hear from leaders at the Senior and Disability Services Division of Lane Council of Governments about what they do and what we all can do to help prevent elder abuse. We'll talk about all this next on Oregon on the Record. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Many comedy shows and even political campaigns have made hay out of making fun of senior citizens. Pointing out their lack of knowledge with technology or chiding senior moments can often get laughs. But in reality, taking advantage of seniors is no laughing matter, and the amount of financial, physical, and mental abuse that befalls our elders is downright frightening. Today on the show, you'll hear from two Adult Protective Services experts, or APS, about how bad it is and what we can do about it. Jeff Clark, an APS lead specialist, and Dwight Stauffer, he is an APS specialist of within the Senior and Disability Services Division of Lane Council of Governments. Thanks to you both for coming in and chatting.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great, great. Jeff, let's start with you. You know, maybe just kind of contextualize this issue. How big of an issue is elder abuse in our community?
Elder abuse is actually much bigger than anyone really perceives. Elders report instances of 1 in 10 per year, so approximately 10% of elders will experience some sort of mistreatment on any given year. We have approximately 75,000 individuals over 65 in Lane County, so it's approximately 7,500 cases at least in Lane County alone.
Wow. Dwight, contextualize for us what constitutes elder abuse?
Well, there are a variety of different categories of abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. Some of the more common ones that we see are neglect, or a caregiver, someone who's assumed the role of a caregiver is not providing adequate care to an individual. Another common one is financial exploitation. We see that a great deal, often, unfortunately, in the context of an online scam of some variety or another. Another one, a category that isn't as well known by its name, but I think people would recognize it when they see it, is self-neglect, where an individual has some sort of dementia and is not able to see to their own needs anymore, and so you'll see people not making doctor's appointments and not adequately feeding themselves, and the home is deteriorating, and so those are some of the more common ones that we'll see. But you know, there's cases of isolation where people aren't being allowed to have contact with loved ones, and sexual abuse, and you know, really runs the gamut of mistreatment.
Okay. I'm wondering too, and I'll address this to you, Jeff, you know, is there one particular kind of abuse that Dwight just talked about that seems to be growing? I'm thinking, obviously, with our reliance on technology and things like that, these idea of scams that might be perpetuated using the phone or banking or something like that. Talk about that.
Yeah, scams are a huge problem in general, because once the money's gone, the money is gone. There's very little that local law enforcement can do once you've sent your money overseas. There's a lot of risk factors for individuals unfamiliar with new technology and new apps that are going on.
Yeah.
And the AI frontier is just absolutely terrifying. The most recent new scam that I've heard of from the Department of Justice was using AI to create generative video of a loved one in jail saying, "Grandma, I'm in jail. Send me money to bail me out."
Wow, that's kind of scary, because, you know, Dwight, I imagine many of us have heard of scams preying on somebody who is perhaps a senior or just not very knowledgeable about these kind of frauds. But as I understand it, it always was kind of like a message saying, oh, you know, X is in Mexico and they need help. That sounds like something that could really kind of get under the radar of someone's, knowledge and really cause them to act.
Oh, absolutely, and that is what's so insidious about it. You know, it's new, and it really gets at the core of someone's heart, seeing a loved one in that capacity. And even if they've been warned about it, it could very easily be something they still fall for. There's so many other simple scams that still impact people. Romance scams are so common. Those sorts of things where they're tugging at a different heartstring would just really, even if it's not a loved one, someone you've never met, someone that's potentially in another country, they're saying,
sure.
It's definitely something we see a great deal of.
And Jeff, I'll go to you. Is that kind of one of the hallmarks here is, I would imagine for younger people, this scam might, not necessarily play on a heartstring, but more on like monetary, like, do this and you could get the Nigerian prince scam or something like that. But, what Dwight just said about pulling on a heartstring, is that something that perhaps seniors just by nature of being more trusting or whatnot, is that kind of the vulnerability there?
Well, Michael, I think the vulnerability is more loneliness and boredom when you have decreased access to the community, maybe because of your physical abilities, your decline, seeing your spouse of many years pass away. You're looking for that human connection, and someone is right there presenting it to you.
Yeah, interesting. Let me reintroduce you both to our audience. We're talking to two members of the Senior and Disability Services Division of Lane Council of Governments. We're talking with Jeff Clark. He's an APS lead specialist, and Dwight Stauffer. He is an APS specialist. I'm wondering, too, we had such a generational challenge with COVID on the entire spectrum of quality of life, of just general living. And so, Dwight, I'm wondering, coming out of COVID or even during COVID and now coming out of it, did that make this situation worse? Because it might be that people are, more susceptible to scams because of, that human interaction, issue that might be missing. I just kind of wanted to get from your, from the data and stuff, did COVID make this situation worse?
I'm going to defer to Jeff.
Okay.
I think he's got some interesting information
great.
About
Jeff,
that.
Sure, great. Jeff, please.
So with COVID, we had a huge decrease in the number of reports, and we attribute that to the human interaction that goes on. We see a regular seasonal fall off in the fall through the winter, and right now we're entering our busy season, so it's really exciting to be talking about elder abuse in World Elder Abuse Awareness Month because people are having that greater degree of contact with everyone. During COVID, it was really challenging. You weren't seeing that person one-on-one. You were maybe talking on the phone every so often. And just that lack of contact with everybody looking out in the community for someone, reduced a lot of the calls that we were getting.
Yeah. I'm curious, seasonality, I guess that's something that I didn't even think about. Is it just because people are out and about more in the summer months, or what is that all about?
Yeah, it's greater contact. You see your neighbors, you see your family members, you're traveling for summer vacations. We've had a seasonal bump usually right around January after everyone visits for the holidays, and then it's either the call is you didn't know how bad mom and dad were getting, or you call us because guess what your brother sister's doing to mom or dad and you don't approve of it. And then during the June, July, August is really our busiest season because the nice weather brings people out and we're just having so much more contact as a community with each other.
Sure. Dwight, I'm wondering too, and this might be one of the more insidious aspects of this, is when maybe younger family members take advantage of an older relative. Is that something that kind of fits into this overall narrative?
Yes, unfortunately, that's not uncommon to see, and it makes sense when you realize that that's the person someone sees the very most,
sure,
and has the most intimate contact with them, and Sometimes people are struggling with their own issues and they may end up verbally or physically abusing a family member. Unfortunately, they're desperate for funds and they see an easy target and it just happens to be grandma.
Yeah.
We're all human and we all make choices out of, bad places in ourselves.
So sure.
I don't know what the statistics are exactly, but yeah, we see a great deal of it. It's often the person that you know best and have the most contact with who will be the perpetrator of the abuse.
Yeah.
This is Jeff, and I would just echo what Dwight has to say, that the alleged perpetrators really are people in positions of power. Number one being daughters, daughter-in-laws, stepdaughters. Number two, sons, son-in-laws, stepsons. Number three, other family members. And then number four, paid and unpaid caregivers. And that's over 80% of the alleged perpetrators in our cases, which are individuals in positions of power already in these people's lives.
Wow, wow. Well, let's take a short break. You're listening to Oregon on the Record. I'm your host, Michael Dunn. We're talking about elder abuse during this Elder Abuse Awareness Month, and we're talking to members of the Senior and Disability Services Division within the Lane Council of Governments. We're talking with Jeff Clark. He's an APS lead specialist, and Dwight Stauffer. He is an APS specialist. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record on KLCC, and we're talking about elder abuse. We're talking with the Senior and Disability Services Division of Lane Council of Governments, the representative Jeff Clark, an APS lead specialist, and Dwight Stauffer, he is an APS specialist. So Jeff, I'm going to continue with you. What does your organization do? How do you help?
Yeah, so we work within the bounds of the systems available. Mm-hmm. When a report comes in, we're going to take that individual that's the alleged victim and keep them at the center of our services, and then from there work out. And we may work within a family system, within a social system, a faith-based system, medical system, or legal system, and trying to provide the individual with services to protect themselves from harm or risk of harm.
Okay.
And to provide them with the education to make those decisions so that they can be safe.
Okay. And so Dwight, I'm imagining, that report comes in and you meet with them, you kind of, I imagine, for lack of a better phrase, kind of a forensic analysis of what happened. And then is it kind of like explaining how this abuse happened? It may be very obvious, but it also may be something fraud that they may not understand. So it's kind of, it sounds like both preventative steps, education, and then a proactive approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we do investigations. So mm-hmm. we're going to follow up, when we get a report that meets the definition of abuse and we assign it. Mm-hmm. It goes to an investigator such as myself.
Okay.
And I will go interview the alleged victim and talk with any relevant witnesses and eventually at some point speaking with the alleged perpetrator if there is one on a case. Obviously, in a self-neglect situation, there isn't really an alleged perpetrator per se.
Sure, sure.
In that context, we are... We're coming up with a conclusion whether the abuse is substantiated or not, and then working with the individuals as Jeff was pointing out to try to mitigate the abuse, which is really the main thrust of what we're doing.
Okay,
let's stop this and figure out how we can get this person into a safer situation.
Does that transition from what you just described to then, in certain cases, might escalate it to law enforcement?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cases can end up being looked at criminally.
Okay.
So we will cross report to law enforcement when we believe that a crime has been committed.
Okay. Jeff, I'm wondering this too. I can imagine, especially when it comes to something like what we've been talking about, this financial abuse or fraud, I would imagine when you're talking to people, there could be a certain amount of embarrassment or shame that this happened. How do you help them kind of perhaps overcome that so that you can move it towards a better solution?
You're right. There is a huge amount of shame. And how did I get tricked? Or how did my loved one do this to me? I just can't fathom that they would take all my money or that they would, exploit me in this way. And so trying to make the case that it is common and helping people people to really harden their social circles against fraud and abuse by sharing those experiences. I remember a case in a small community where the individuals were exploited and had taken out a mortgage on a house that they owned free and clear, and we were able to get their family involved and, you know, stopped the bleeding essentially, so that they got on a better financial footing, but really encouraged them to talk to their friends and everyone that they knew about that. And they've even gone so far as to invite us to come out and speak to some of their social events, which is really exciting for me, because when I get to do things like your show or talking in public, it's the one time I'm talking to someone when something bad hasn't happened.
Sure. No, that makes sense. You know, Dwight, I want to go back to something you said when you're interviewing all the parties in this situation. I'm wondering, what's it like when you're interviewing somebody who might have perpetrated this kind of abuse? You know, I imagine it runs the gambit of people who are willfully ignorant of what they're doing to people who are, you know, really bad individuals. Kind of give us a sense of what that's like talking to someone who might have, you know, seriously abused a family member or somebody that trusted them.
Well, you know, when you initiate the interview with somebody in that situation, you're giving them a chance to share their side of things.
Sure.
Because the stories can end up being incredibly different.
Sure.
But if it is an indication that this person did do this, you're still trying to connect with them as a human being. I mean, they have their struggles too. And, you know, you want to know what, as much as you can, what's the motivation? Why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. What can you do potentially to help that person to prevent the abuse of the other person?
Sure.
You know, so it's while you might sit with some level of judgment and struggle with the attitude towards the person, there's still an effort to maintain as neutral a position as possible.
Sure.
This is Jeff, and I would just echo what Dwight is saying about the challenges in working with alleged perpetrators, but a lot of those individuals are family members, and our interventions are not going to change the fact that that person is still a family member. Mm. They're likely to have contact and ongoing contact with that elder in the future, so that's not going to change after our time working with the individual. We just want to provide the choice and the safety so that they can be more independent, happy, healthy, and live a successful life.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you both again to our audience. We are talking to members of the Senior and Disability Services Division within the Lane Council of Governments. We're talking with Jeff Clark. He's an APS lead specialist. And Dwight Stauffer, he is an APS specialist. You know, Jeff, I want to stay with you because I'm curious too about what members of the family, what seniors can do to protect themselves. In addition to working with you, if something has happened, but I'm thinking, you know, to try and be proactive, what might they be able to do to help guard against this?
I think one of the best things you can do is to plan for the future and to adjust your social circle as that changes. Family members, kids, relatives, siblings move across the country, they pass mm-hmm. away. Your supports change as you age sometimes. And mm-hmm. so it's really important that someone is bringing new people into their close social circle and having those individuals that they trust and can rely on to help provide some of that backup and safety when they lose other individuals. There's a number of people who retire and within 5 years have, you know, virtually no friends and no contact because they didn't have any of that social network set up previously.
Yeah. Dwight, two of the biggest challenges that I think our community faces is, you know, the issue of housing, you know, pricing and how that's created, you know, so many challenges, especially with those who simply can't afford a home at all. And so this crisis of the unhoused. But then also, you know, Oregon is constantly ranked very near the bottom in terms of mental health spending and just the mental health crisis. I'm wondering, those two things, do they often sort of conspire to make the situation for elder abuse more ripe for elder abuse?
Well, I don't know the statistics exactly.
Understand.
I don't want to say where mental health plays into it.
Sure.
There's certainly examples of that mm-hmm. we have. But, a lot of the abuse is unfortunately being perpetrated by people who don't have mental health issues.
I see.
Housing is a huge issue. I mean, we don't have the resources, obviously, that we need for that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the struggles, hopefully I'm answering your question here, but
sure.
One of the struggles that we have is that when somebody is a victim of abuse and their living situation itself isn't safe, the person that is the perpetrator of the abuse lives there with them, there isn't necessarily a good option to move them out
sure.
somewhere else.
Sure.
It's not a quick place to just say, we're going to, you can go live here now and
yeah.
not be living with this individual. So
yeah.
Those restrictions and numbers really tie our hands sometimes. And unfortunately, we do have to leave people in situations that are not safe.
Yeah.
This is Jeff, and I would just echo some things that Dwight is saying, that those do intersect. A common scenario that we have is the accidental landlord.
Mm.
You have elderly couple, one of them passes away. There's a change in how much income is coming into that household. They make it okay for a few years, and then they think, I could make some money by renting out this extra space.
Mm.
And they don't always intend to become a landlord. Those responsibilities, the legalities of that, and they're not always clear about screening or, finding a good match for bringing in a roommate, which is much more than renting out an apartment, but, very intimate situation in some regards because you are in each other's space and you're sharing a household.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, I'll stay with you, and this might be the last question, but, what's your advice for people in terms of what should they do if they suspect elder abuse is happening, if they know it's happening? Kind of what are some of the best steps that they should do so that they can seek help?
The best thing to do would be to give us a call mm-hmm. at 541-682-4140.
Mm-hmm.
That is our screening and triage line, which is staffed Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. It is actual investigators who staff that line, so you're talking to people who do and have done the work and can actually answer technical questions about it. And please, if you have someone that you care about, give us a call and let's see if we can get them some help.
Great. And we'll put that line on the show link as well. This has been very enlightening for me. Thank you both so much for coming in. We've been talking with Jeff Clark. He's an APS lead specialist, and Dwight Stauffer, an APS specialist in the Department of Senior and Disability Services for Lane Council of the Governments. Again, gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear from an organization that works to prevent another kind of abuse in our community, drug and alcohol abuse. The pandemic has made matters much worse for some, and judgment-free treatment is more important than ever. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.